for today, the third Sunday in Advent. We have a reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your modesty be known to all men. The Lord is nigh. Be nothing solicitous, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your petitions be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we have a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time the Jews sent from Jerusalem priests and Levites to John to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and did not deny, and he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou the prophet? And he answered, No. They said therefore unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they that were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said to him, Why then dost thou baptize, if thou be not Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there hath stood one in the midst of you whom you know not. The same is he that shall come after me, who is preferred before me, the latchet of whose shoe I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethania beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so we read of a delegation coming from Jerusalem, a delegation of priests and Levites coming to John to ask him, Who art thou? And he replies, I am not the Christ, which doesn't answer the question of who he was, and yet it does, because that is what they were after. After all, it is the time for the Messiah, the Christ, to make his appearance. Where the one consult, for example, the prophecy of the 70 weeks of Jeremiah, or that of Jacob of the scepter being in Judah until the time of the Messiah's coming, and so on. The expectations are high for the Messiah to come in their midst. It's in the air, so to speak. Only 3 years after these events, straight after that first Pentecost when the apostles will be preaching, and these same priests and Levites will be much troubled, Gamaliel will stand up and wisely tell them that if this movement be of God, we can't resist it. But if it be of men, we are not to worry, it will peter out. And he reminds them of a Theudas, a would-be deliverer, who gathered 400 men. But when he died, they were all dispersed. Or a Judas of Galilee, who had many men, but again, when he died, they all scattered. As I say, it's in the air, these expectations for a Christ, a deliverer, a saviour. Simeon, we know, was expecting the redemption of Israel, meaning that the coming of the Redeemer. And he was told by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death until he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And now we have John the Baptist coming forth, quite a phenomenon, hardly human, so to speak, by the austerity of his life. A forceful preacher, he gathers many disciples, he has his own rite of washing, which is a profession that one needs to be cleansed from one's sins. It is to excite contrition and prepare for the coming of the graces of redemption. Does he claim to be the Messiah? No, I am not the Christ. But the Christ, the Messiah, is already in their midst. He is already on the scene. There hath stood one in the midst of you, whom you know not. This is true, incidentally, even literally. For 18 years beforehand, the boy Jesus was in the temple amongst these priests, hearing them and asking them questions. Some of these priests will be the same. But even so, in the general sense of he is amongst us, and it's not surprising, of course, then him they know not, for he has not yet gone forth preaching, working miracles. What is surprising is that when he goes forth preaching and working miracles, some of which you heard him claim in last Sunday's gospel, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again. The dead rise again. Stupendous miracles. And despite that, they still don't suspect him of being the Christ. Herod, for example, hearing of the miracles of our Lord, will affirm quite simply, it is John the Baptist risen again from the dead. Others will say, no, it is Elias, a prophet, one of the prophets. But Herod will insist, no, it is the Baptist. They don't think that it is the Messiah. They will address our Lord later on, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. I speak to you, and you believe not. The works that I do in the name of my Father, they give testimony of me. These miracles show me to be the one. But they don't accept this argument from his miracles, for they are evilly disposed. That will be all too clear when they have him in their power and are intent upon condemning him. Then it will be the high priest who will adjure him by the living God, that he tell them whether he be the Christ, the Son of God. Thou hast said it, I am. And their reaction? He has blasphemed. And they will condemn him to death. They are evilly disposed. To receive him, one must be well disposed. And that is why the Baptist goes forth, make straight the way of the Lord. His coming is to be prepared. Obstacles are to be removed. Make straight the way of the Lord. And whereas that can mean a number of things, most fundamentally, I think, it means to have a right idea, which means God's idea, of who the Saviour is, from what he has come to save us, and how does he go about doing it, to adopt, to receive, to accept God's understanding of these things. It's not a question of human judgment, human understanding of God's will, of God's ways, but of quite simply a spirit of simplicity and humility to accept God as he presents himself. The priests and the Levites, they could not imagine a change of the very priesthood, that they would lose their places, lose their authority. The scribes and the Pharisees, doctors of the law, understood of the Messiah that he would come to deliver, but imagined a deliverer of the people from a foreign rule, making of Israel a great nation. human ideas. They were blind. And human ideas are quite simply those that we have, thanks to the light of reason, or it may be to the light of faith, but coloured, warped by self-interest. And they make God's coming very torturous rather than straight. That was the case for those in the days of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it can be the case too for we ourselves in this modern world. We can understand with our light of reason, and yes, with the light of faith. Faith is that light God has spoken. We accept that, but He's not told us everything. And we can judge according to our own self-interest. These can be human ideas. We can get it wrong. And that can be an obstacle to grace. We remember our Lord God through the prophet Isaiah. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are exalted above the earth, so are my ways exalted above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. God's doings, all that providence allows in this world, reality as it is the will of God. His permissive will may be, but the will of God no less. We are to accept things as they are, for they are ordained of God, and yet we fret, we fear. We who are so little before things so big. Mind you, these things so big are infinitesimally small compared to God. But we fret, we fear in the face of things, for example, national and international politics, pandemics, militant Islam, the crisis in the church, a pope hardly recognizable as Catholic, and we fear and we fret. Which shows us that we don't treat God as He is. Make straight the way of the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Master of everything. Even in hell, He is the Master. The devil hates and would torture souls as much as he can. He's only allowed to according to their just deserts. He's the instrument of divine punishment. God is the master everywhere. In the days of the Antichrist, God will be in charge. And yet, when the storm rages, we cry out, "Save us, we are perishing." O ye of little faith, God, He is infinitely wise, infinitely good, infinitely powerful. We see hardly beyond the over to the horizon in front of our noses. God sees from eternity to eternity the full picture. He is infinitely wise, and He is infinitely good. His very nature is charity. God is charity. He loves, and He can only want what is for the true good. And He is infinitely powerful. He is doing what is for the true good. We need a very lively faith in God Himself. We, on the other hand, created from nothing, of ourselves are nothing, infinitesimally insignificant compared to the Godhead. We are not worthy to be called His servants, His slaves. As John the Baptist, "His shoe I am not worthy to loose."
Yet
there are those souls that admit being angry with God. And the tone they use is very much, "Father, am I not justified in being angry with God? After all, I only want what is for His greater glory and the salvation of souls. Novena after novena have I been praying for the conversion of my husband, my wife, my son, my daughter. Novena after novena I have been praying to be delivered from this galling temptation, this bad habit, my weaknesses, that this cross, whatever it might be taken away from me. My health is very poor, and now, God, does He not know how much I'm suffering? And now there's this and that over and above added unto it. I've been out of work for over a year. I do need to support my wife and family. I've been praying novena after novena that God have mercy and give me a job. He's turning a deaf ear. God is not listening." And we get angry with God. We who are not worthy to be called His slaves, we make ourselves His counselors. "This, my idea, O Lord, is for Your greater glory and the better good of my soul." Not only His counselors, we make ourselves His masters. "This, I say, O Lord, You have got to do. I say, up to You to listen." This attitude of being angry with God, it is so blasphemous. I hope you realize. It is so blasphemous. As if God were not all wise and did not know what was for my true good, or if He were not all good, wanting what is truly good, but He's actually depriving me, denying me of what is for my true good. My little human idea. It is so blasphemous and so ridiculous. I who am nothing, He who is everything. And I prefer my thoughts, my ways, to those of the Lord. Make straight the way of the Lord means firstly that we have a right attitude vis-a-vis God, a right understanding of our place vis-a-vis God. And that right attitude, what is it, if not fiat mihi secundum verbum tuum? Be it done unto me according to Thy word. A decree from Caesar Augustus goes out for the enrolling of the whole world. But she is 9 months pregnant. She's not up to a trip like this to Bethlehem. Be it done unto me according to Thy word. There's no room for them in the inn. Only a stable presents itself. Be it done unto me according to Thy will. An eating trough for the animals, a manger in which to lay Him. And shortly after, even that is taken away, they have to flee into Egypt, a hostile land, as refugees. Be it done unto me according to Thy will, to keep one's soul at peace, no matter what divine providence ask of one. To realize that it has been asked by a God infinitely loving, who would be a father to us, who loves us as His children. He knows what is good for us. Yes, peace on earth to men of goodwill. And they are of goodwill who trust wholeheartedly their Father in heaven, no matter how He treat them, who pray wholeheartedly, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." To keep our souls in peace, no matter what befalls us, trusting in God. On one occasion our Lord Jesus Christ does say, I confess to thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them to little ones. Yea, Father, for so it has seemed good in thy sight. These little ones, they have made straight the way of the Lord. They are simple and humble. They will accept whatever God wants for them, trusting in his goodness, his fatherly goodness. Whatever befalls them, yea, Father, for so it had seemed good in thy sight. True, we may pray, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. This is making straight the way of the Lord. This, now he can come to us as our Saviour. Now he can grace us and then crown us. He comes to save. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.